Christ.
Amen. Amen. Turn around, shake somebody's hand. Amen. Tell them it's good to be in the house of the Lord, Brother Terry. Amen. Let's sing. Play a little more of that. Let's play a little more of that. We fall down, we lay our crowns. Praise tonight. Amen. Amen. Certainly it's good to be in church this evening. You can be seated. Just have a couple of requests to read, but I'll let you be seated while we read those. Sister Brenda Harmon wanted to send in a testimony. Wanted to thank God for watching over her daughter-in-law, Renee Tucker. She was bleeding in the hospital, but the bleeding has stopped and everything is much better, thanks to our Lord. So we certainly want to thank the Lord for the testimony there tonight. Amen. Brother Eric Krause turned in a prayer request for his neighbor's wife. Took a bad fall this afternoon. Went to the emergency room, so we certainly want to remember her in our prayers this evening. Also, Brother Randall Gissendener turned in a request for a friend, Brother Marty Moore down in Georgia. He has a special unspoken prayer request tonight. He's asked the saints to remember, so we certainly want to remember that need. Also want to pray for Sister Barbara Gravely. She's having some more tests on the main arteries in her neck. Also, Brother Bert's still in a lot of pain, so we certainly want to just remember them before the Lord in prayer. Amen. I know week after week we call their name, so we certainly want to just pray that the Lord would just give them a special touch tonight. Also want to just continue to remember the Potter family at the passing of Brother Dale, Sister Rachel, and the siblings there. The funeral was this afternoon, so we certainly want to continue to be in prayer for them, that the Lord would just be mindful of them at this time in their lives. Amen. Brother Terry, let's just stand this evening. Would you just come take these needs before the Lord for us?
Let's bow our hands tonight as we pray. Father, on my heart, I think about the in the Jewish calendar, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the most important feast day for them during their year. But Lord, that's once a year when you met with the high priest in the behind that veil. But Lord, we can come anytime that we desire. We get to come three times a week. We get to come, Lord, when we kneel down in our prayer closet, we can come into your presence. What a privilege it is to be under the divine fellowship of grace for these last 2,000 years. We're so happy, Lord, that you have granted us not only to be under the grace, but the double grace to be able to see this end time message. You called us to it. You let us have some understanding of it. We know that we don't have a complete understanding, but Lord, it'll be revealed more and more as the days go by, and even As the prophet of God said, when we get on the other side, it'll take the eternity to unfold the great nature of God through the Lord Jesus. And we're just so happy to be part of it. We're thankful, Lord, for the rewards that's granted to the overcomers. The prophet of God talked about, just read a little while ago, that each age, the overcomer, he is granted the rewards for each of the preceding ages, and therefore, being in the last age, we get the rewards all the other six before. What a great blessing it is, Lord, to be living in the last age. And we're so happy for that, undeserving as we are, but we're thankful. Receive our thanksgiving tonight, Lord, for we truly are thankful to come to the house of the Lord. We ask that you be with the family of Brother Dale Potter, a tremendous brother, been promoted. Come up to your house tonight, I'm sure. And Lord, be with that family. They had the funeral this afternoon. Those that attended, just bless them. Give them traveling mercies on the highway. We pray for Brother up in West Virginia, Brother Bert and Sister Barbara. They've been having several issues. I pray that you just touch them and undertake in their behalf. The other two requests has been given in. You know all the needs there, what they have need of, and I just pray that you'll, there's faith in the building. Somebody's going to believe, and it's going to be a testimony of what you're going to do for them. The Lord, as a brother comes and brings the word of the Lord tonight, we ask that you'll just anoint his heart, anoint his voice, anoint his lips to speak what you've laid upon his heart, anoint us to receive the words already anointed. But Lord, now if we can just catch the revelation, as it were, of what he's trying to give to us, Lord, we'll be able to leave this building and say, did not our hearts burn within us as he talked to us along the way? We're thankful, Lord, to be part of the great kingdom of God. Bless your children. Heal each one. Touch these requests, Lord, that I have in my hand. And may we have a good time of fellowship around the word tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's just sing that song tonight. I'm amazed that he loved me. Amen. How many can say that tonight? Amen. We think about our lives, where we've been, and where we're at now. We just thank the Lord, amen, for everything that he's done for us. Just stand here amazed tonight. Let's just sing that. The brothers would come receive the evening offering at this time. Just like to welcome any visitors with us tonight, those that be streaming as well. Amen. Just pray that the service will be a blessing to you tonight. Amen. Oh, I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you care. Tried so hard to hide, though I laughed and said my life was fine without you. I was covering up the secret tears I cried. Oh, then one day someone told me of your mercy. When the love you showed on a called Calvary. Oh, there you died and purchased my salvation. When you broke sin's power and set my spirit free. Oh, I'm amazed. Oh, that you love me.
Times I've gone astray, but I've learned that your love is stronger than my weakness, and your ears are open every time I pray. No one else has ever cared for me like you, Lord. Other friends could never be as close to me. I'm not afraid to face the problems of tomorrow, knowing you are everything I'll ever need.
Oh, I'm amazed that you love me,
that you love me.
Oh, I'm amazed how you care,
how much you care
through your precious blood. Oh, I found pardon. Oh, and my sins are washed. Oh, they're all washed away. All my sins are washed away. Oh, sing it like you mean it. Oh, I'm amazed that you love me,
that you love me.
Oh, I'm amazed how you care through your precious blood.
Believe that tonight. Amen. Let's, as there's some church youth have a song for us tonight, they'd come be getting ready to sing that. And then Sister Annie has a song for us tonight as well. Amen. If they'd be coming, preparing to sing, let's sing that little chorus. It reaches to the highest mountain, KG. Amen. The blood that Jesus shed.
For it reaches to the highest mountain. Oh, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, it's the blood that gives me strength. Oh, from day
seated.
I have stumbled through the darkest of the valleys. I have climbed upon the highest of the hills. And all my traveling has brought me to your fountain. And all I want is to come and drink my fill. All I want is to come and drink my fill. My heart, your throne, this life belongs to you and you alone. Let there be no divide, and only you may my soul be satisfied. There is beauty that can lead into temptation. And there are voices that would call me far away. But I have found in your surrender my salvation. And in your love I've come to find a resting place. In your love I've come to find a resting place. My heart, your throne, this life belongs to you and you alone. Let there be no divide, soul be satisfied. The broken, the thirsty, who long for your mercy, can run to you, only you. And peace everlasting, beyond understanding, and only you may my soul be
fastened tight down at the jail that night, but Paul and Silas would not be dismayed. They said, "It's time to lift our voice, sing praises to the Lord, and prove we will trust Him, come what may." God wants to hear you sing when the waves are crashing round you, when the fiery darts surround you, when despair is all you see. God wants to hear your voice when the wisest man has spoken and says your circumstance is as hopeless as can be. And that's when God wants to hear you sing. He loves to hear our praise on our cheerful days when the good outweighs the bad by far. But when suffering comes along and we still sing Him songs, that is when we bless the Father's heart. God wants to hear you sing when the waves are crashing round you, when the fiery darts surround you, when despair is all you see. God wants to hear your voice when the wisest man has spoken, says your circumstance is as hopeless as can be. And that's when God wants to hear you sing. And that's when God wants to hear you sing.
Give our singers another hand tonight. Amen. Two beautiful songs. Amen. Let's just stand to our feet. Amen. Got a real treat for you tonight. Brother David Seiler is going to come. Amen. He's going to bless us with a word. I tell you what, during Easter when Brother Darrell was preaching, and I bet he said 10, maybe 10 times, he said, it's just so good to be home that weekend. Our brothers, they go out and travel and miss their families for weeks upon weeks, and just keep them in your prayers. Amen. I know their family misses them, and they miss their families, and the sacrifices they make, the reward on the other side will be great for these brothers. Amen. Let's sing this old song as Brother Dave would come for us. Jesus on the main line, tell Him what you want. Amen. If you got a need in your life tonight, amen, just tell Him what you need tonight. Oh, Jesus on the main line, tell Him what you want. Oh, Jesus on the main line, tell Him what you want. Oh, Jesus on the main line, tell Him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. Oh, I said call Him up. Tell Him what you want. Oh, call Him up, call Him up. Tell Him what you want. Oh, call Him up, call Him up. Tell Him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. Oh, if you need a healing, tell Him what you want.
Well, if you need deliverance, tell Him what you want. Brother, if you need deliverance, tell him what you want. Well, if you need deliverance, well, just call him up and tell him what you want. Jesus on that main line, gotta tell him, oh glory. Well, Jesus on that main line, oh, I said Jesus on that main line. Oh, just call him up and tell him, oh hallelujah, sing it one more time. Well, call him up, call him up. Then I heard a little verse like this. Well, the devil's in the phone booth calling 911. The devil's in the phone booth. Glory! I said the devil's in the phone booth calling 911. But Jesus on that main line. Worship. Talking about Jesus tonight. Amen. I'm dangerous like this. This is your fault. Aren't you glad he's there when you call? Jeremiah said, Lord said, Jeremiah, you call and I'll answer. May take a little time, Daniel. May take 21 days, but the very first day you prayed, I heard your prayer. Praise be to God. While you're standing this evening, let's go to the book of Psalms chapter 23 with me. God bless you. Certainly an honor to be in the house of the Lord with you tonight. Psalms 23. I want to look at verse. Let's start with verse 1. We'll read down to verse 6, and then we want to go to the book of Revelation chapter 12. Just a little evangelistic thought tonight on our heart we'd like to give to you. Psalms chapter 23, verse 1. Of course, it's been preached on, read on many different times, but maybe from a little different angle tonight, the Lord will help us. I'm just glad to be in the house of God. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. And the scripture tells us that God's going to have a people for his namesake. But yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, when there is no light, I will not fear. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and we should all be able to confess that my cup, it surely runneth over. For surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. That word follow means to chase after, to hunt down until it acquires you and brings you back. Surely goodness and mercy will bring me back all the days of my life, and I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 and 11. Of course, this is coming just before the tribulation period. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. I'd like to speak to you tonight out of verse 5 of Psalms 23, and I'd like to just look at the anointed in the presence of your enemy. Anointed in the presence of your enemy. Let's just bow our hearts.
Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, Lord, to be gathered here in this place tonight. And Lord, as we stand here, we're asking that you would just come, Lord, and use us for your glory. Lord, you know every person's here. You know every need that is represented among us tonight. And we're asking that you would just come, have liberty in this place, Lord. We ask that the word would just come among us, Lord. May the light just drive the enemy from this place. And Lord, may you just have liberty to be able to move upon our hearts. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that if something would be there, Lord, a need or whatever it might be, and maybe it's a sickness, we ask, Lord, that you would just move them, those needs tonight, Lord. May you take them from us. We know that deliverance can come even by the preaching of the word. For David said it, Lord, that you sent your word and healed them. And we believe that tonight, Lord. And we know that tonight that you're a present tense God. And we believe that you're the same. Lord, we're not looking for some historical figure. But we believe you're the same tonight. May you come speak to us by your word, Lord, as we yield, Lord, in your presence. No ability on our own, Father, but only what you would give us. Help us tonight as we look into your word. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. You may have your seats for a few minutes. We'll certainly try to not be before you very long. We'll watch our time very closely. I want to just start tonight and read, as we read the book of Revelation, how that the scripture's implying to us that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Here, according to John, is telling us, he's letting us know by prophecy for you and I that there's going to be a group of people who is absolutely going to overcome this age. But he doesn't just tell us that there's going to be overcomers, though we know that there is, but he tells us what they're going to overcome. And we know what they have to overcome is the same battle that you and I fought on a day-to-day basis. We're fighting against the accuser of the brethren. And we know that even today that he is still the accuser. But I have to say, he can accuse, but we have an atonement which has been made. And that atonement stands between us and every accusation of the enemy. And we know that he doesn't just tell us exactly, not just that we're going to overcome. He doesn't just tell us that we're going to, what we're going to overcome, but he also tells us how we're going to overcome. Now, it doesn't really matter what you face. It doesn't really matter what you come against. If you know how to overcome, it doesn't matter really what you have to overcome. If you know how to overcome. And then John tells us how, as he implies it to you and I, we can look back upon that scripture. And John tells us that they had overcome him. Who? The accuser of the brethren. They had overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Now we know that a testimony is, it's a powerful thing to have a testimony. We can look back even through the message and we can take many different quotes and show that even by testimony, many times one person's testimony, it's a key to somebody else's life. They can hear a testimony that if God done that for them, and they take that same key and they use that key upon their life, that if God would move for them and he would have respect into that faith, if you can apply that same kind of a faith, that God's going to move on your behalf. And many times, many of people, they look to those type of testimonies to be able to bring confidence within God that if God's done it, it not that, that God can do it, but that God's done it before, and then God's done it to somebody that you know, it continues to build your faith. And so there's something about a testimony that means something to us, because there's something about it can have a tremendous effect. A testimony can have an impact upon your life. But that being said, if a true testimony of a true witness can have an impact upon our life, what about a negative testimony? A negative testimony that would be around us. Now, Brother Brown picks this thought up in the Psalms 23, and he's quoting verse 5, and he said, oh, how marvelous it is. He said that this shepherd, notice the beginning and the end of Gentile dispensation, he said, no wonder David said that the Lord is my shepherd. Watch David begin to testify. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How he leads us beside the still waters, and he restores my soul, and runs our cups over, and he anoints us in the presence of our enemy. Did you ever get anointed in the presence of your enemy just to testify? Watch what it means. Just to testify, to fill your cup just boiled over, you know, and you just how marvelous it is to be anointed in the presence of your enemy. So being anointed gives us a testimony, and this testimony is, it's so full that our lives are so full of what God has done. We've been left without excuse, that He tells us that there's so much good things of God that He's done for us, that simply our cup begins to run over. Now we know that's because God's provided these things, and God has showed Himself on our behalf many times. He's been so merciful to us. But you realize down through biblical history, you'll find that not everybody, even those that was around the message of the hour, those who had been enlightened to the truth, even those that had been witnessed, even deliverance and seen great miracles, had not always kept a positive testimony. And we can look back and look at the top and see how that whenever the children of Israel had come out of Egypt, and then they come from the Red Sea, and many of the people, they seen God do great things. But then they come down to the wilderness, so they come to a place of Kadesh Barnea. And at Kadesh Barnea, there's going to be a lot of wasted years in Kadesh Barnea. And I have to say, I've wasted some years in Kadesh Barnea. And if you was honest, you could say that you've wasted some years at Kadesh Barnea. But then sooner or later, God's divine order begins to come upon our lives. And somewhere along the line, somebody says, it's time to quit circling this mountain. We've got to turn northward and get onto that promise. I don't know about you, but that's exactly what this message has done for us. We had circled the mountain for a lot of years. A lot of people had circled the message for a lot of years. But eventually the revelation, the Son of Man, and the opening of the seals, and the book coming open, and a mighty angel descending, it began to protect our thoughts for more than just Kadesh Barnea. We begin to turn northward to find out what promises lay within it. For a long time we rallied around Moses, and Moses had done a lot of great things, and we're thankful for that. But there come a time that we had to move from the messenger to His message and realize He's trying to get us to a further experience with God, to bring our feet to a higher plateau, to bring us to a higher stable land than what we ever had been before. Now here they come to Sinai, and it's been 40 years since Sinai, 40 years since the Red Sea, 40 years since God done these things. And now they begin to look around, and many people, they start getting bored, and they begin to look to other things, and people has in their mind, well, why don't we just go back to Egypt? It really wasn't that bad in Egypt. It really wasn't that bad. Oh my, they fed us. It was nice. Yeah, we took a beating every now and then. Yeah, it was hard every now and then. You see, when deliverance comes, if we're not careful, our minds begin to project back into thinking that that was a comfortable zone for our lives, when it wasn't. It was nothing more than bondage. They kept them as slaves. But I want to tell you tonight, God's got some people who are not going back to Egypt. They don't have it on their mind to go back to Egypt. We've got people who's ready to march on, and we're going to take every promise of the land that belongs to us. Hallelujah. Now we come to Kadesh Barnea, and the people had gotten to the place where they are wondering about this land, and they begin to think, is the land really there? Is the land really true? I mean, is the promises that Moses the prophet has made, is these promises, are they valid? Are they true? And so they begin to wonder. And always when time comes, get a little time between the promise and fulfillment, that's when people begin to wonder. The time between the prophecy and the fulfillment of that prophecy is where people's minds begin to get lax, and they begin to go back and do things they used not to do. And their mind begins to go back, and before long, slavery starts looking good. Before long, a whip of the old taskmaster begins to look good. Pharaoh's orders begin to look good. But brother, if you've got the spirit of Caleb upon it, you said we ain't going back under that dictatorship. We've been under that old accuser of the brother for a long time. But we ain't going back to his ways. How easy it is for spirits to begin to roam around us, and people begin to wonder, and unbelief begins to stir, because Satan's never going to leave you alone. Satan's never going to quit fighting you. Satan's never going to quit accusing you until he's cast into the lake of fire. He stands before the Father day and night. Oh, I don't know about you, but I'm glad I've been through the red atonement. I'm glad I've crossed over that Red Sea. I'm glad I've got something standing between me. How about you tonight? Now, as I begin to wonder if the promise was really there, Moses is going to send spies into the land so that the people can have an evidence that the land is there. But remember, for you and I, faith is the substance of things hoped for. I don't have to have, listen friends, I don't have to have the loaf of bread as long as I got the quarter. Because the quarter is just as good as the loaf of bread. And faith is this. Well, Brother David, I need something tangible. I need something I can put my feet on. Well, you do got something. You got faith. Don't you realize that Brother M tells us the first person to believe God's word was God himself. He said, let there be light. And Brother M said, he believed his own word and light come into existence. Why? He stood on the same thing. Every son and daughter of God's going to stand on. We must stand by faith tonight. Hallelujah. Now here they come, and God's going to send them into the land. And he tells these men, because it happens to be the time of the ripening of the fruit. Glory. It happens to be the hour of fruit coming to harvest. And he tells them that since you're going into the land, the grapes are coming to harvest. And they should be ripe now. Now I want you to take and cut down a cluster of these grapes. And I want you to bring an evidence back from the land. So these 12 spies, as they choose out one from each and these men that goes over. But here's the problem. Every man that's going into the land is not looking through the eyes of promise. Every man that is going into the land does not have eyes of faith. But when they get there, they cannot deny that what the prophet has already said. Oh, I hope you hear me tonight. What the prophet has already prophesied, what the prophet has already said, lays in the land. Amen. It doesn't matter what they look like. Yes, they had a negative confession. It didn't matter what they looked like. God's promise was true. And the prophet's message was true. They come into the valley of Eshcol. And there they find these grapes. And because the prophet is wanting an evidence, hallelujah, they cut down these grapes and they put the staff in between it, insomuch where two men, the Bible says, has to pack them back. Now they're under the load of the grapes. They've got the grapes over their shoulders. They feel the weight of the grapes. They feel the weight of the prophecy. They feel the weight of what Moses has said. Moses said it's a land that's formed with milk and honey. And now they're under the load, carrying back the promise back to the children of Israel. Don't you see, when you pack this word today, we are under the load of the word of God. We are under the load of prophecy. We're packing it back as evidence. They get a pretty good spectrum of what lays in the land. But all Caleb and Joshua has on their mind is what belongs to them. They're tired of talking about a gospel. They're tired of talking about a God that was. They're tired of talking about a God that used to be. They are ready to achieve the promise. Brother, I don't know about you. I do not want to be stuck at Kadesh Barnea. I want to make sure I got my eyes on the promise of God. I am not satisfied in the desert. I am not satisfied out here. I'm not satisfied being a desert baby. I want to be a child of Canaan. I want to be the children of God. Children of promise, who's able to march into the land and take every God-given right that belongs to me. These men packs these grapes back. I can imagine as they come walking back into the camp. No doubt the minds of the people are wondering, is it true what has been said? Until they see these two men with the staves over their shoulders packing back these great big old grapes. Amen. Now maybe some of the same people who had talked about how nice it would be to go back. And have you brought us out here into this desert to die? Maybe as they begin to look at them grapes, thinking, man, them grapes look good. I mean, them grapes look pretty good. I'd like to have one of them grapes. I mean, just one of them would feed me and my whole family and my uncle and my great-great uncle. It'd feed everybody in my family if I just had one of them. Well, why would you want to sit around and enjoy the blessings of God just with one grape when you got a promise that all of them belongs to you? Why would we want to sit around the message and just take pieces and parts of it when God has promised us a land that is full of them, where you can build your house right beside the very harvest of the grace? And not only you, oh listen friends, but every son and daughter of God can enjoy the benefits of the land. I do not want to be guilty of just hanging around the promises. I want a testimony within me that not only is those grapes good, but I'm going to get my own vineyard one day. Come back in. The prophet has already told him by the word. He's already said that the land is good. But now, they're going to have a testimony service. Testimony services can't just be real good. Now, I was raised up in a smaller church and we had popcorn services. But people was able to testify. If we start testifying in this building tonight, we'll be here the same time next week. But it always amazed me in the testimony service that when you call on people's names, sometimes they just freeze up. They just lock up. But you let people volunteer to testify. And you let somebody start testifying about what God did for them. That testimony triggers a positive response in the mind of others. Come on, somebody. And it begins to remind them that God did something similar for me. He almost did the very same thing for me. And before long, that positive testimony has attracted another positive testimony. And the fire begins to spread through the church until finally you got yourself church going on. Now, no doubt Moses is expecting these men to say something good. He was expecting the promise. Listen, Moses had no doubt what laid in the land. Moses didn't wonder what was laying in the land. It was those who had unbelief on their hearts was wondering what's in the land. Moses had already said. Now, not only are they going to have a testimony service, they've got the spoken word of Moses. But now, not only do they have the spoken word of Moses, they've got the manifested word of Moses. They've got physical evidence that the land is good. They've never seen grapes like this in Egypt. You know why? They can't grow grapes like this in Egypt. Grapes like this only flows in the land of promise. So not only do they have the spoken word, they are standing upon the manifested word of their day. He's expecting testimonies of joy. He's expecting to hear testimonies of milk and honey. Testimony of power. Testimonies of overcoming. Expecting to hear great things that God has done. But the people that's got doubt in their hearts don't have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Amen. And some of the preachers that come around the message, they begin to fall backslide in their own hearts. Amen, somebody. And they're not convinced, and that means they're not concerned. And because they're not convinced and concerned, they're not looking at the pause of God's word. All they can see is how big the cities are, how big the walls are, how big the giants are, how big the chariots are. They are not looking at what the prophet said to look at. And so here they come back and tell them are madder than hornets. They come in there. They are so discouraged. They are so down. Pull out their hankies like it's a funeral because they failed to recognize what the prophet had already said. I said they failed to catch the revelation of the land. They went there with unbelief in their hearts. And because of unbelief being in their hearts, the unbelief in their heart has limited their vision to the promises of God's word. Don't you see when you read the word day in and day out, if there is an unbelief in your heart somewhere, it will limit you from seeing the promises of God that belongs to you as a child of God. If we are reading it, oh my, we must read it by faith. We must read it by believing God's word that that promise belongs to me. It may not just be my brother or my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. That promise is a personal promise to me. They come back and they got a negative testimony. And they're fixing to have a testimony service. They failed to recognize what Moses had been doing, which was establishing a relationship between them and God again. I said he was restoring the relationship. Amen, church. He's restoring the relationship that Abraham had had with God. Amen. Oh my, Moses was establishing a relationship between them and God again because they didn't have the right kind of relationship in Egypt. And you can't have the right kind of relationship in Egypt. You can't tell me these people that live in Egypt, that are a part of Egypt, are feeding on the same thing that you and I are feeding on. That's not the right kind of fellowship. That's not the right kind of worship. But brother, you get out here in the land and you start picking your feet up and putting them down upon the promise of God's word. That's real testimony to me. Hallelujah. He wants us to know him. He wants us to know him. Not in just sermon form. Not in just pastor form. Not in just book form. Not in just tape form. He wants us to know him in a living reality. He wants us to recognize he's not a God of just yesterday. He's the same God right now. Don't you see, friends? That's what Moses' ministry was to do, was to bring the people back to a personal relationship with God. That's why Satan attacks this message. That's why he attacks the validity of this message. That's why he attacks the promises of this message. Amen. I have been anointed to believe this message. I've been anointed to preach this message. You've been anointed to believe this message. You've been anointed to preach this message. Some does it in the pulpit. Some does it in the kitchen. Some does it on the job. Some does it in the cafeteria. Come on, somebody. Some of you do it in their, after school. Some of you do it in all kinds of places. But we are all called of God to testify about the good things of God. Don't you see that's the way our lives should be? We should be a walking, living testimony. It ain't by what you say sometimes. It ain't what you pronounce. It's not the articulation of your words. Sometimes it's a life lived by the gospel that people pick up something genuine about your life. Hallelujah. I've been anointed right in the presence of my enemy. It don't matter how many Amalekites stands against us. It doesn't matter how many Jebusites stands against us. It doesn't matter how many is going to come against the message of our. We are anointed in the presence of our enemy. I'm anointed to talk about the good things of God. You're anointed to believe the good things of God. I'm anointed to preach about the blood. I'm anointed to preach about the Holy Ghost. I don't care how many Jebusites there is or websites. Who cares what they say when we got evidence of the land? I've been anointed to overcome by the word of my testimony. And I'll just ask tonight, who's on the Lord's side among you? I said, oh, let me say as a scripture, who's on the Lord's side among you? I'll tell you, Joshua, I'm standing right with you. Caleb, I'm going to stand right beside you and believe it. They gather around. There's going to be a testimony service. The pastor's standing there. Evangelists are there. Deacons are there. 2 million strong. And here comes a testimony service. Well, why don't somebody just let us know exactly, just to kick this off, what did you see in the land? Well, let me just tell you what I saw. I saw walled cities. I saw great, you wouldn't believe how hard the trip was. I mean, it was so tough. It was so rough. I'm getting discouraged just thinking about it. Man, there ain't no way. Are you kidding me? This is what we've been believing all these years. You mean to tell me we've been following this all these years and that's what we got to look forward to? And Joshua says, yes, amen. Calm down, Joshua. It's not your turn to testify. Oh, what'd you see up there by the east? I'll tell you what I saw. I saw the children of Anak. I saw men that are twice the size of any person here. And I'm not just talking about any men. These men carry swords taller than you are. They got great shields. Oh, they're well-learned men. They are warriors from their youth. And we're nothing but factory workers and housewives. I mean, how can we overcome an accuser like this? Well, just let me balance this out and let me tell you what I saw. Please do. I saw Jericho, and that was all I needed to see. When I seen how big Jericho was, that was it. It just summed it up in my mind. When I seen the size of the walls are big enough to have chariot races around the top of it, that summed it all up in my mind. I thought we might as well find somewhere else to go and live because this ain't going to work. You mean to tell me you find one negative thing around this message and you're ready to throw in the towel? Well, not me. You find one story you can't comprehend. You find one quote you don't understand. You find one thing in the message, you find a little fault. Don't you realize if you go looking for fault, that Satan will show you every mistake. He'll show you every shortcoming. Don't you see? That's exactly what they tried to do in Balaam, to get him to see all the faults of the people, all the faults of the message. And we know how that worked out for him. See a little hand in the back raise up and said, I think I need to testify. And Moses says, well, somebody ought to testify. I said, somebody ought to testify. Can you imagine? Here is Moses standing here, and all he hears is negative. All he hears is disgust. All he hears is yellow cowards talking about how big everything is. Can you imagine? Is this all my message has produced? It's a bunch of cowards who's afraid to pull the sword. It's all this message has produced. A bunch of yellow cowards who runs away from the first sign of the enemy. He never told us there wasn't going to be trouble. He never told us there wasn't going to be problems. But he said, when you do face the problems, I'll be with you, even in you, until the end of the world. He never said you wouldn't go through battles. Of course you're going to go through battles, but you're going to crest every wave you come against. As Zachary says, duh. Duh. Well, we thought we were just going to float around on angels' wings and clouds. We was expecting to cross that river, and man, we was just expecting just to go out, and we was going to roll in the Kentucky bluegrass in Canaan, and it must be there because the prophet seen it there, and he brought back fruits that it was there. Testimony. I said, testimony. This cup runneth over. Caleb says, let me testify a minute. I like to say something in getting started tonight. Oh, Lord, here we goes. I get so sick of hearing this guy. All he talks about is his promise, and his promise in body change and rapture and going away. That's all I hear. All I hear is Brother Branham said, and the message said, and the Bible said. I get so sick. It's so repetitive. I get so sick of hearing it. Well, maybe you didn't hear it the first time. Amen. Maybe God did it because you didn't hear it the first time. So he's got to repeat it over and over again until you really. Yeah, I've been guilty of that a time or two. Amen. Anybody else? Don't answer that. Quit looking at your wife. This service is over if you do. Go ahead, Caleb. Say what you got to say and get it over. We got you 45 minutes. Praise God, 45 minutes. It was a great land. I've dreamed about it. I've daydreamed, night dreamed. I've dreamed about this day. And to know that I was called to spy out this land, I feel so blessed. I like somebody that's positive. You ever been around somebody that's negative? Every time you see them, they're just negative. Everybody, well, how's your day going? It couldn't have went any worse. Oh, really? Well, I got, no, let me just tell you about, well, I really got, now, let me just tell you about my day. I got out of bed this morning and I stubbed that big toe right there. And you're thinking, yeah, I'm going to have to stub that big mouse. Whew. You ever talk to somebody like that? Every time you get around them, it's negative, 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 negative. How bad it is, how hard it is. Well, how you been doing? Man, I've had the worst year of my year. I've had the worst century of my life. If you got just a few days, let me tell you about how bad it's been. I mean, it's been bad. I mean, the kids, the grandkids, the great-grandkids, you wouldn't believe it. There's more trouble around my home. There's more trouble. And here comes Caleb. So let me testify for a little bit. Oh, yeah, there may be a few problems. There ain't nothing God can't take care of. There may be some people that gets down every now and then, but God can raise them back up. It's part of the body. Yeah, the trip may have been hard, Lord, but let me tell you, the blessings are so good when He begins to give His mercy to us and He begins to give His love. How I love to sit and bathe in His mercy. He's at bay and worship Him and adore Him and tell Him how great He is. Oh, I just feel good just talking about it. When I go to talking about it, it feels like He comes around me. And I love to worship Him. Remember inside manners. Remember, guys, on church manners now. They're going to call us Pentecostal. Man told me that one time. I said, but they won't tell you what your problem is. You're too Pentecostal. I said, well, your problem is you're too Church of Christ. I would rather be a little Pentecostal. No, let me just be honest. I'd rather be a whole lot Pentecostal. I can't help it. I love when the presence of God comes by. I love when He comes and He moves right here in this service. I love to hear the war cry. I love to hear the Indian cry among us. I love when God comes by and He stirs us from the back of the building to the front of the building. I love His presence. I am anointed in this presence and I love to be in it. If it makes me cry, so be it. If it makes me shout, so be it. If it makes me dance, so be it. If I can just sit and lift my hands to Him and just tell Him how great He is, I love to be in it. I knew He wouldn't want to act decent tonight. One trip into Canaan and look at Him. Moses, I want to be as far away from that fanatic. Can I bring it down to our terminology? Holy roller as I can get. You don't have to worry that attitude. You won't be there anyway. Yeah, I wish Brother Donnie left somebody else in the pulpit tonight. I seen overcoming power in the land. I seen joy unspeakable and full of glory. But wait a minute. Did you not see walled cities? Yeah, I saw them. And I thought, man, what a miracle that's going to be. What a miracle that's going to be. I mean, can you imagine He's going to knock Jericho flat down to the ground? What kind of a miracle that's going to be? Wait a minute, didn't you see how big the walls were? I did. I kept looking and thinking, oh my, when God gets a hold of that devil, He's going to take every stone. He's going to rip one down from the other until they are ashes under the soles of our feet. But didn't you see something fearful? Oh, I seen something fearless. Well, you have to admit we need a little bit more than this message to do it, don't we? Now, everything I have need of lays right in this message. Well, we need more than the Bible. Oh, no, everything I need is right here. Don't you see what these men are doing? They're planting seeds in the mind of these other people. Their testimony is so negative that a negative testimony will impact your life. The prophet calls them borderline believers. They had enough faith to get to the border, but they could not go over. I want never to be found guilty of being a borderline believer. I know we got a lot of them around the message, but I don't want to be one. The evangelist is just trying to pull out of me about borderline things. God help me. Whew. But I say we got rights. This message is more than enough. Matter of fact, I don't need 49 to 65. Just give me one quote. Well, that's all David needed to fight a giant. I don't need 5,000 scriptures, though he give them to me. I don't need 100,000 quotes, though he give them to us. All I need is one. Amen. And when you recognize this message is eagle food, when the bride recognizes who she is, then the rapture is going to go. Brother, we have got, God is confident in His word. He's confident in what He's promised. He's confident in His blessings. But sometimes we look at our enemy completely different than what our enemy looks at us. But if tonight we can break into the enemy's camp and find out what the enemy has to say about children of promise, it may change our thinking a little bit. I like to go across Jordan. I like to go behind the walls of this great city called Jericho. And the Bible says in Joshua 2:8, and before they were laid down, she came up to them on the roof, speaking about Rahab. And she said unto them, I know. Well, some of those folks over there across the land need some of that. I know that the Lord has given you the land. She ain't been around the message a few days, and she's got more revelation than most of them. Oh yeah, I've heard it ever since I was a kid preacher, still am. When I was really a kid preacher 17 years ago, what's wrong with these young whippersnappers coming in here talking about open book and seals and thunders and bullets? Why can't they just satisfy with hunting and fishing stories? She had more, don't you see, friends, if you don't get on board, this train is not waiting. I don't care if you've been in it 10 years, 20 years, 50 years. The gospel revelation is not waiting. A minister, a man can come into the message in 2 years, no more, and some people's ever heard in 30. Get me stoned before I leave here, Lord. I know the Lord's given you the land and that your terror has fallen on us. And that all the inhabitants of the land are throwing birthday parties. They got balloons and little hats and little... Well, if you listen to these negative testimonies, that's the way it looks. The inhabitants of the land, not just the city. Not just the city. She's heard some rumors that the inhabitants of the land faint. And you thought that you was just another message believer. You thought you was just another person that's going to come and sit on the pews and then go back home. You didn't realize the inhabitants of the land are scared to death of you. Well, how do you know this, woman? For we have heard, and faith cometh by. We have heard of how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. I love it when they start quoting our history. Now listen, most of these people was born right out there in that desert. They was desert babies. They've been raised around the message. Amen. Desert babies. But because they're following the same pillar of fire and the same cloud, their identification runs back before their birth. That's good. I said my testimony runs previous to my birth. It's because I am identified with this message. I'm identified with all it is. I'm identified in all of His glory. We have heard how the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you come out of Egypt. And what you did, God did it, but they're getting the credit. That would help us right there. The next devil you fight, God's going to do it. Come on, somebody. He's just going to use you to do it through. He needs your hand. He needs your feet. He needs your eyes. What you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan. He said, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. I'd love to give you that definition. It's just too good. Verse 11. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted like butter on a hot fire. Just melted. And so much neither did there remain any more courage in any man. Because, I hope this helped you tonight. Because of you. For the Lord, your God. Amen. My cup runneth over right now. Hang on. For the Lord, your God, He is God. In heaven above and in, not on earth, in earth. But Dave, I'm going to need a little bit more. I'm glad you asked. Joshua 5:1. And it came to pass, one of the kings of the Amorites, which were on this side of Jordan westward, all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over. Their heart did melt. Neither was there any spirit in them anymore because think about it. Because of the children of Israel. Joshua 6:1, their first battle. And Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. They locked the doors. You remember on the cartoons years ago when they would lock a door? They'd lock. They have flat locked the door. I'm talking about they put boards on it. They nailed it shut. They put the dresser against it. They put the refrigerator against it. They put the stove against it. We want nobody coming through these doors. And the prophet said the reason why is because they felt like they were secure behind their walls. Brother, walls can't keep you from the hand of God. Our God can walk through walls. He can walk through trouble. Amen. He can walk on water. I'm talking about our God. Scared to death of Israel. But when you listen to this testimony service, this don't match up unless you get some believers among you. And all I can say is these believers was carrying the whole bunch. Isn't it sad when a few people's got to carry a whole church? Wouldn't it be sad that if Donnie Reagan had to carry this whole church? Come on, somebody. I refuse to let him preach by himself. I refuse to just sit and be a watcher and a gazer. I am called to be a participator. I am here to get something from God, and ain't nothing standing in my way. Oh, let me just tell you, I'm going to pull from what I got need. I'm not leaving this place empty-handed. If Donnie Reagan don't like it, we're going to pull his guts out. Shouldn't that be the way it is when a man of God stands behind the pulpit? You ain't standing between me and my promise, brother. You might as well get ready. I'm getting what I have need of. These people are scared to death of Israel because they had heard what Jehovah had done among them. They'd heard how God had opened up Red Sea. They heard how God had fought kings, and kings had been demolished and trampled under their feet. So they locked the door. Brother David, if I could just know that the devil looks at me that way, it would really help me. It just so happens I found a quote for you. If you can see through the eyes of this testimony, Barabbas says Jesus Christ the same, now quit. I believe someplace says that the devil trembles when the weakest of saints goes to their knees. And I put my name right there for most of the time. But I am a saint. No, I'm not a sinner. I was one, not now. What a power and privilege has been given to the church of the living God. When you fall to your knees in prayer, even the devils tremble to the weakest of them. They're scared to death because they heard what God was doing. They hear that God can clear the way no matter how big the opposition is. They heard that God can feed them when there wasn't no food nowhere around out in the middle of a desert. They heard that God fed them miraculously. They heard that their clothes never wore out. And they heard that no enemy can stand before them. I'd get a hold of that tonight. Amen. And we as the church of the living God has got the same thing. Right in the presence of your enemy, the enemy has to testify that God is with you. There's things that he cannot even figure out unless he has to say God has to be with them. You may not realize it, but you are recognized in hell. You are recognized in hell. For Brother Ram says, a little woman the other night, they was talking about here from the Mayo, so completely gone that she was laying on a stretcher. And the Holy Spirit got a hold of her and healed her right there. She got up and was so happy. She couldn't even sleep all night when the Mayo Clinic had given her up just a few nights ago. What is that? That's yielding. And this man, when he seen Jesus coming, perhaps the devil tore his mind and run out there and to get Jesus because no one could pass by. But when the demon got close to the Lord Jesus Christ, he recognized who it was. Don't say they don't recognize you, because they do. They do. Do you believe that devils recognize Christians? Amen. These folks behind the walls have recognized, and your enemy recognizes who you are. So sometimes it takes somebody. God, give us somebody who can stand in the midst and be a voice against all others if it takes place. If we have to stand, let us stand. David was a man that knew something about fighting battles. He knew what it was to go through hard trials. David would have been killed many a times. But David in Psalms 23 wrote some powerful words that David would have to recognize by testimony when he began to confess. And he said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters." The psalmist is letting us know that he, like a sheep The Lord has condescended and he's become my shepherd. David has recognized the condescension of God to be a shepherd over every sheep. David is telling us, think about it. David had been exiled. And David represents Israel. Did you know one man can represent a whole church? Did you know one man in battle can represent a whole nation? Whenever David went to fight Goliath, he was one man. But if David overcome, every child of Israel overcome with David. Because one person can represent everybody else. One person can top everybody else. And David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Israel could say, the Lord is our shepherd. For Israel had been bound in Babylonian captivity. Preach somebody. And one man like David represents all of Israel. And as Israel was in Babylon, they got let out. And they could say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Think about it. And then verse 3 says, not only have they come out of her, they've got restored. For David said, he restoreth my soul. He lead him in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In other words, God has brought me back from the grave. He's brought me back to life. Many a days I should have been gone, should have been wasted away. But he took my soul and he raised me up and he kept me. I should have been cast down. I should have been destroyed. But he restored me back. He's letting me know God is a restorer of the dead. Can you say the same thing tonight? David say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow. Now remember, they can't be a shadow unless there's a light. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to fear nothing. Though I walk beside Jericho, I have nothing to fear. Though I walk amongst giants, I have nothing to fear. Though I walk through Laodicea, I have nothing to fear. Because thou art with me. Hallelujah. David is telling us he's a present tense God with me right now. That no matter what I walk through, he's a present tense God. Amen. Look what deliverance has done for the testimony of David. If he can keep me in the valley, if he can keep me in despair, if he can keep me in trouble, tell me what he can't keep me from. If he can keep me from those things, he's kept me from death. Tell me what my God can't do. If you got the Holy Ghost, you possess the same shepherd David did. And therefore, I will not fear, for thou art with me. And then David comes to this. You talk about powerful. Because thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I like that. He's topping this table with a feast. And David is telling them, this ain't no ordinary meal. This is a feast. He's brought me out. He's kept me. He's raised me for his name's sake. He's restored me. Amen. And then he's put a banqueting table in front of me. I'm sitting at the feast of our God. Friends, this ain't just some little meal, something that just got thrown together. This ain't some little piece of food. This ain't McDonald's drive-thru. This is a feast for a king. A feast fit for a king. May I say to you tonight, God has not given the bride just a little bread and water to make it to next week and maybe the next week and maybe the next month. We've not been just given enough to survive. We've sat at a feast. He's prepared for me a feast. From 49 to 65. He set before me on this table a feast. Row after row after row of heavenly delights, of revealed words sent from Almighty God Himself. He has sent me heavenly delights so I can feed upon and I can take. And when I begin to eat, my strength comes back. Yes, I've had to fight, but I got enough food to restore my strength back. And notice where it's all happening at. Right in the presence of the enemy. So the enemy could just sit on the outskirts. Good Lord. Who needs that much food anyway? Who really needs all that? I do. of it's going to go to waste. That's a good. He wants to make sure I got plenty. Waste? Are you kidding me? This is manna that's under the Shekinah glory. It's just as good in 49 as it is in 20 and 17. It'll be the same good in 20 and 18 because it's under the Shekinah light. Right in front of your enemies, you're eating a feast. Feast brings laughter. Feast was the top of a celebration. Remember, a year after they come out of Egypt, they held the feast to remind them of what God had done. I think it's good to be reminded what God has done. It helps your testimony. What's it bring? Joy unspeakable. Look at the things that's been given to us. And they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. It brings celebration. Because Revelation 12:12 says, therefore rejoice. After they overcome, after the battle. Come on, Melchizedek. After the battle. After the battle, they rejoice. After the battle, there's joy. Until John has to say, therefore, since you overcome, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. And then he gives a warning to the tribulation saints. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. So just before the tribulation, just after the battle, there's somebody overcoming. Hallelujah. He's testifying. What do you do in celebration? Testifying what God has done. Testifying how great he is. God prepared a feast. He makes the enemy sit around and watch as God feeds you with blessings and mercies and love. He accuses you day and night. And God, finally, he tries to make you feel guilty, tries to condemn you. Every time you hear Judas, you think, oh God, that's me. Why? That's what the devil does to you. It makes you think of a negative report. But the enemy has to sit around and he watches you after your mistake, after your fault. He watches God give you a big spoonful of grace. He says, open up, here it comes. But I don't understand. I know they did this. I know they was guilty. I know they ain't deserving of that. We never said we's deserving. Amen. Listen, friends, this ain't something you work for. This ain't something you achieved. Grace is a gift. He gives you grace. He gives you mercy. He gives you love. Amen. Because you're his child. Not something you merited. You got children at home. You don't feed them because you want something back from them. You feed them because you love them. And right in the presence of our accuser, God provides us unmerited favor. Amen. And in the presence of your enemy, he watches every bit of it. Amen. And God doesn't just provide the feast when everything's going good, but he still gives me a feast when everything's going wrong. You remember the prodigal? After everything he went wrong, the father met him. I said the father met him. He ran and met him. And when you do something wrong and the accuser pounces you like a lion, he starts reminding you of your past, reminding you of your mistakes. Amen. But it's then you can testify in the presence of your enemies that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's when you can testify how great God's love is, how great God's mercy is. What's it because you're deserving? No. Even when I'm not deserving, he loves me anyway. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful, friends? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Let's stand our feet. And the scripture says, thou anointest my head with oil, which we know by the message, of course, that's the custom. They take the oil and it's mixed with a perfume. And it's a sign to make them welcome that they anoint you with this oil. Glory. And David said, when I come to his table, He was there ready to anoint me with the oil. And David's a man that knows something about being anointed with oil. David remembers how it felt when the prophet Samuel had anointed him as a king and poured the oil from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And David said, he's preparing me a feast in the midst of my enemies. And he anointed me with oil. And I say, amen. And David says, but I ain't done yet. Because my cup runneth over. Which is an Eastern custom. That when you would come in, they'd put a cup in your hand. And they'd begin to pour the wine. And they wouldn't just fill it all the way up. They would fill it until it runs over the top of it. And starts pouring out on the ground. To let you know, there's plenty. There's plenty of this. Oh, there's vats full of, drink all you want. You're so welcome to come and to eat at my table. I want you to know that you can eat in plenty. You can rest in peace. And you can have all you need to drink. And David says, when I come to his table, he refreshed me with the oil and it re-energized me. Until finally, I have to say, like the cupbearer bringing me the cup, my cup overflows. If you can't say that tonight, something's wrong. If you can't testify that tonight, something's wrong. Brother, you saying there ain't no troubles? You saying there ain't no battles? I'm saying it because there is. And look who's the one fighting beside you that's got the rod and the staff to lead you and the rod to guide your feet. I have to say, thou art with me. Let's bow our hearts tonight, if you would. God, have mercy. Oh, praise be to God. In the presence of your enemy, you've been anointed. Enemy, look at your life. Maybe he can't figure it out. Because he knows you're not deserving. And the mystery is, you know you're not either. But why does God keep giving mercy and grace and love and showing favor and partiality? Why does he keep doing it? Because he's my shepherd. David knew something about tending sheep. And David knew that when the sheep would go astray, he'd leave the 99 and go get the one and bring it back into the fold. It's because David was commissioned to watch over daddy's sheep. What kind of a shepherd would David have been if David would have come back to his daddy? And daddy said, well, son, how's all the sheep doing? Well, dad, they're all dead, but everything's good. Oh, no. David knew, if I had to give my own life, amen, these are my sheep. Hallelujah. So our heads are bowed and our eyes is closed. Maybe you've not been able to testify. Maybe you've been through a battle, maybe a trial, maybe a trouble. Maybe something was said tonight that's reminded you. I want to tell you tonight, you are anointed in the presence of your enemy. You're anointed to stand. You're anointed to keep believing. Don't give in. Don't give out. Don't give up. Don't stop believing. Brother David, it's hard. I know it's hard. But keep pressing. Keep fighting. Keep fighting. Look beside you. Look around you. Brother David, I feel by myself, but you're not. Oh, if you could only look. As Elijah said, Lord, Elijah said, Lord, open the eyes of this boy and let him see how many surrounding you. If you only knew. Think about how your enemy looks to you. They've locked the doors because they're scared to death that the word of God's going to come out of your mouths. And they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Praise be to God. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Well, open the eyes of my heart. Well, I want to see you. How many wants to sing tonight? I want to see you. Oh, Lord, open and open the eyes of my heart. Oh, open the eyes of my heart. Lord, give me a testimony of faith. Give me a testimony, Lord. I want to see you.
will see you high and lifted up. Oh, shining in the...
Oh, sing it to him tonight.
Oh, and pour out power and love.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yeah, holy, holy, holy.
Oh, praise God.
I want to see.
Open our eyes tonight, Lord.
Lord,
give us a testimony of faith.
See.
Give us a testimony, Lord. Am I overcome?
Oh, I
by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony.
Lord, I want.
Oh, let's just lift our hands and tell him now.
Oh, I said, open the eye of my heart, Lord.
Yes, open the eye. Open it tonight.
'Cause our God is awesome. 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 He's awesome. Our God is awesome. He's awesome. 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 Our God is awesome. He's awesome.
Just willing, he's able. He's able tonight. I challenge you in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't stand for a life of just coming and going. Be a part of it. Be an anticipator. Be a member of this church that stands on God's word. Stand. For Paul said, having done all to stand, let us stand. Let us stand to God. Oh, praise be to God. Let's sing it like this just before we go. Oh, don't you love him? I feel like speaking 5 different languages. Praise be to God. Oh, can we just lift our voice to Him and thank Him tonight? Just tell Him how much you love Him. Tell Him how much you appreciate Him. Tell Him how great He is. Lord, You are my shepherd. I shall not want. You maketh me to lie down in green pastures, Lord. You plant my feet on stable land. You took me into the land of Canaan. You filled me with Your blessings, Lord. You give me Your joy. You kept me in the trials. You kept me in battles. You are my God tonight. You're my God. You're my God tonight. Oh, praise be to God. Oh, we serve a righteous King tonight. We serve a mighty King tonight. Praise be to God. Amen. Pressing on for just where we go, brother. We'll keep pressing on. Can we sing it just before we go tonight?
Hallelujah. I'm gonna keep pressing on.
Hallelujah.
Oh, pressing on.
In the pressing
on. Again. Gotta keep pressing on to the higher calling.
Stop me, turn me aside.
What's he say?
Say no need for me to go on. Why do you even try? Even if there is a rapture, boy, you'll never make it in. I just say, hey, Satan, watch me prove you alive again. I'm gonna keep pressing on. I'm gonna press. To stop you, turn you aside, tell you there's no need for you to go on, no need to try. Even if there is a rapture in a heaven, you'll never make it in. Why don't you just say, Satan, I'll prove you a liar again. I'm gonna keep pressing.
When old Satan tries to stop me, turn me aside. Say there's no need for me to go on. Why do you even try? Even if there is a rapture, boy, you'll never make it in. I just say, Satan.
pressing on, pressing on,
pressing on
to the higher calling of my Lord.
Amen. I got two services. Got two services tomorrow in Kentucky. I'm gonna get up in the morning, I'm gonna press right on. I'm gonna get up Monday morning, I'm gonna press right on. I'm gonna press my way back in here Wednesday night. I'm gonna press my way through the service. I'm gonna let the devil know I'm part of this group. I wanna let the devil know I'm a son of God. I wanna let the devil know I am anointed in the presence of my enemy. No matter what comes, no matter what goes, I'm going to stand. Praise be to God. I'm gonna keep pressing.